It seemed fitting for us to have our parish mission on these days. I know it's summer and some people are on vacation and there's lots going on. But the dedication of our parish church coinciding with the words that the apostles said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray." In Christian tradition, going all the way back, even during the times of persecution, anytime there was a let up in the persecution, the Christians would build a church. Then the persecution would start and the Romans would destroy the church until 313, with the Edict of Toleration, or 314, Constantine said it was okay to be a Catholic. And of course, he was influenced, as happens quite regularly, by his mother, who was already a Catholic. And with that Edict of Toleration, Constantine first allowed his mother, and then he himself began an immense work of building churches in Rome, in Constantinople, in Jerusalem, and everywhere in between. If you ever get a chance to go to St. Peter's Basilica, you can go underneath. There's a tour, you have to sign up for it, but you can see the foundation stones for the columns of the original St. Peter's be in the neighborhood of 1,700 years old. And the beauty about celebrating the dedication of a church is there's a lot of things that this feast reminds us of. You know, some of you, I think, remember now Archbishop McKnight, when he was the head of our liturgy office, he used to write a little thing to the priests every month. It was called Liturgy Matters. And it was, of course, a play on the word. One, it does matter. The liturgy matters. But then there are also things that he wanted us to know. And one of the things he really pushed to all the priests was to celebrate the dedication of your parish church. Because the symbolism helps us to understand the reality. So one of the words, we heard it in St. Paul, St. Peter mentions this, the opening collect, living stones. Obviously, this building is not made with living stones. But the people who are in it are the living stones. And when a church is built, when a parish church is built especially, it's a recognition of the need that we have to come together to worship God. In the third commandment, we know that we're supposed to keep holy the Sabbath day. And part of that is to worship God. When St. Thomas writes about the virtue of religion, he says, in a certain way, it's a natural virtue. Every human has this desire within him or her to worship God. Now, for literally thousands of years, the only people who did it correctly were the Jews, because they were the chosen people and God gave them exactly how they were supposed to worship. And then in Christian times, you have the fulfillment of the Old Testament and the institution of the New Covenant. And the New Covenant is so powerful, not just because it's inaugurated by God himself in the person of Jesus Christ, but because we are baptized into Christ. When we come out of the waters of baptism, we become members of the mystical body of Christ. And so when we worship God, we are joined to the head, who is Jesus, and then the priest, who is not Jesus, but who is ordained unto Christ the high priest so that he can lead the worship, so that we give honor and glory to God, and God in his goodness showers down his graces upon us. And for literally 2,000 years, we've done that in church buildings. 74 years ago, Bishop Carroll came up here and he consecrated this building. And in those days, it's been altered somewhat since the 1970s, the first thing that the bishop did is baptize the building. Nobody started inside. Everybody started outside, and the bishop would walk all the way around the church, sprinkling the holy water while the litany of saints is being sung and the prayers, they were all very much baptismal prayers. And then he would come in. Now, the change in the ceremony means it's no longer 5 hours like it was 74 years ago, which means more lay people participate when we have new churches than they did back in those days. But when he would come in, then everything had to be consecrated. So you can see on the side of the wall, I know I pointed this out before, you see these crosses in between the stations of the cross. Those were all consecrated with the sacred chrism, the same oil that babies are consecrated with at their baptism, that children are consecrated with at confirmation, and that priests are consecrated with at their ordination. That same oil marked this building as set aside for the worship of God. And then the altar. There would have been nothing on the altar on that day, July 20th, 1952, and the bishop would have consecrated the altar again with the sacred chrism. Because on that altar, the sacrifice of Christ is offered. And we are joined to him in offering the one sacrifice, as the traditional language says, the unbloody sacrifice of Christ that opens to us every time we come all the graces of the redemption. And so it's a big deal to celebrate the dedication of a church. But it's also a reminder. We listen to the gospel of the cleansing of the temple. And one of the fathers of the church, I forget which one, he wrote a homily and he said, when we celebrate the dedication of the church, he's like, we make sure that the church is clean. Yesterday, the church cleaners come in every Saturday morning and they make sure our church is clean. And this father said, make sure your church is clean. We heard St. Paul say, the temple of God, which you are. By our baptism, we also are a temple of God. And we need to make sure that we take advantage of the graces the Lord offers so that our temple is clean, which helps us then to offer a worthy sacrifice to the Lord. And so what a great thing it is for us to be here this morning and to remember the love and devotion and the hard work that those who came before us put in to give us this beautiful church. It was set aside for the worship of God and has been used for that for 74 years. And through that worship, God's people have been sanctified. And through that worship, God's people have been forgiven. And through that worship, God's people have been joined in marriage. And through that worship, God's people have been offered back to God so that they might receive what the baptismal liturgy foreshadows, unity with the Trinity forever in heaven.